The headache and the sore throat that accompany a cold or a flu make you feel bad enough. So why does your body feel it has to make us feel doubly awful by throwing a fever into the mix as well, and then cooking us in our own skin? Well, we knew already that some infecting microbes do grow a bit less well at higher temperatures, but now scientists in China have discovered that a higher body temperature also helps immune cells to get to the sites of infection much more efficiently. Immunologist Claire Bryant is at Cambridge University, and she's been taking a look at the study findings for us. Hello, Claire. First of all, when we have an infection, why does the body make us develop a temperature? What actually happens?
So, hi, Chris. Yeah, what happens is there are a bunch of proteins produced in response to infections and other immune processes that then drive the production of molecules called prostaglandins, and they cause an increase in the body temperature. And that's really important for making a hostile environment for bugs. But also, it seems that if you get this increase in temperature, it increases your chances of surviving and recovering from infection.
Which is very important.
Very important, and it's very interesting as to why that might occur.
So basically, the body temperature is set in your brain, isn't it? And
it is
indeed, there are
yeah.
chemicals released by the response to the infection that then triggers that set point upwards. And we
Absolutely.
All do it, and animals yeah. do it as well.
So everything does it. It's
clearly has
conserved.
It clearly has a benefit to us.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what actually are the researchers in China saying in their paper? What did they do?
So what they did was they had a look at a really interesting process that goes on, which is you need your immune cells to actually get to the site of infection, the site of inflammation. And in order to do that, the immune cells, such as T cells, for example, actually have to jump off the train of the circulation and get into the site of the tissue that's infected.
Now, so they're going around in the bloodstream, these white blood cells, and they need to be not in the blood, they need to be where the action is
absolutely.
In your tissues.
Yeah, so they're patrolling in the blood and they need to get off and into the tissues in order to work that out. So the tissues do some really neat ways of producing chemicals that will attract these cells into the tissues, but they actually need to get off the train. And so what happens is that the lining vessels of the bloodstream produce a bunch of sticky molecules, and then the receptors in things like T cells see these. And then what they do is they sort of stick and they roll along the blood vessel wall in this kind of sticky way until they reach a site of infection, which is indicated by chemoattractants. So those are molecules that attract these cells in. And then these cells actually move from the blood vessel wall into the tissue. And that process, stick, roll and invade.
That is how the tissue recruits the cells out of the bloodstream. It makes the blood vessels in that region that's got the infection in it more sticky than normal. So the
Absolutely.
Cells can gain a toehold and then get in. But how does the temperature side of things come into that? Because we've been able to watch down microscopes that process you've just defined for many years. We knew that blood cells begin to stick better in areas where there's an infection. So where does the temperature come
in? So this is the really neat thing about this paper. So what they did is there's this bunch of proteins which are specifically upregulated when you get a fever. They're called heat shock proteins. And in this paper, what the guys did was they showed that one of those, and only one of those proteins, called HSP90, heat shock protein 90, was upregulated. And then what it was able to do was to send a signal from the inside of the cell to the outside of the cell through a very specific protein called alpha-4 integrin, which is a protein that actually makes the stickiness. It's the sticky
receptor.
So it's
like cell Velcro.
It is exactly like cell Velcro. What happens is that the HSP90 binds to the tail of the alpha-4 integrin, and this upregulates it onto the cell surface. But even neater than that, this protein can bind two molecules of the integrin. So you get clumping of these receptor proteins and makes it multiple stickiness and increases the maximum stickiness to the blood vessel wall.
So in other words, you've got the area where there's an infection making the blood vessels there a bit more sticky already. We knew that effect. But when you add on to that the effect of a raised body temperature, that's making the cells that need to go to that site of infection a bit more sticky as well. So
Correct.
The combined effect is going to be it's much easier for the cells to cling onto the side of the blood vessel where there is a zone of infection and then squeeze into the infected area.
Exactly right, because the alpha-4 integrin is absolutely critical for the stop and invade signal.
And now we understand a bit more about this process of inflammation. There are lots of diseases where the immune system runs amok, autoimmune diseases like SLE and arthritis. Would it be possible to exploit this in order to damp down the immune system? Because without it, we obviously need the immune system to get rid of infection. But when we don't want the immune system attacking things, you get all kinds of consequences.
Yeah, the really neat thing is now that we understand the mechanism which is involved, so this upregulation of the heat shock protein 90, you can actually downregulate that. You can switch it off. And in doing that, you'll then reduce the stickiness and you'll reduce the level of immune invasion of these tissues. So things like in rheumatoid arthritis, for example, the joints will no longer be infiltrated by these T cells, and that should downregulate the immune response.
They did this in experimental mice. Do we have the same molecules in humans? Can we assume this is applicable to us?
Yeah, we do. The heat shock proteins are evolutionary conserved, as are the integrins. So it's very likely that we should be able to target immune diseases by using an approach on this sort of molecule.
Claire, thanks very much for making it so clear for us. That was Claire Bryant. She's an immunologist at the University of Cambridge. And the paper that she was discussing has just come out in the journal Immunity, and it's by Zhanfeng Chen and his colleagues. They're based at the Shanghai Institute of Biochemistry and Cell Biology.